Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, you can do better than that, all campuses. Give it up for Ashton Crank. What do you think of that, huh? I'm a proud dad, I'm telling you right now. She's good. Look at your neighbor and as you're seated and tell him, you got blessed, you got to sit by me today. Things are already working good in your favor. Thank you, guys. I love that first shot where Johnny Bronco fought so hard to get on the horse and then realized he was on it backwards. Anybody ever been there? Come on, all campuses, raise your hand. You've been there. Well, let's give that another shot. How many of y'all have been there? You finally got on the horse and then you realize, I'm heading the wrong direction. What in the world? And it just happens, and it's easier said than done. This isn't connecting. Here to here, I need that. Also, I want to let you know today that it's Pastor Appreciation Day, so appreciate all your pastors at every campus. Come on, you got Nia out there, Phil out there, Katrina out there. Shouldn't even start this. I can't remember them all. Pastor Nicole, come on, somebody. Everybody appreciate your pastors. And I know, yeah, I'll tell you, they're just great. They work really hard. They're here all the time. You talk about getting back on the horse. Well, they sure do it. You know, I want to talk a little bit about just falling off of the horse. When I was young, just like 4 or 5 years ago, well, longer than that, I loved horses. Anybody love horses, right? So I just loved horses, and I had a horse, and every Saturday, Millie Good and her husband, there were older people at our church, they'd come pick me up. He was a horse trainer, taught me all kinds of things about horses, and I wasn't afraid of horses at all for some reason. And my dad, he loved horses, but he was afraid of them. But he would always, like, if we go buy a horse, he'd be like, my son will try it. And I would just try it. I was just stupid. Just got on it. And I remember one time in St. Louis, not far from you, there in Potosi, Missouri, where there was this Arabian horse, which is beautiful, the dish face, the conformation, amazing. And I got on it, rode it. It's just, horses are smart, by the way. They took me all the way to the end of this inside arena where there was a concrete pad and just threw me off right there in the concrete. And my dad started laughing. And he looked at the guy. He's like, my son, he'll ride anything. He's like, he's stupid, but he'll just do it. Also, horses are big. Everybody notice that? They're really, really big. So sometimes we're afraid of them because they're big. Your dreams are big, and we're afraid of them because they're big. The horse is fast. I wish it would slow down. To get where you want to go, you've got to actually start realizing that sometimes you're going to fall off the horse. Of course, I like that right there. It's right. It came. Sometimes it triggers my brain. I'm like, hit it. Throw that out there. That's a good one. Come on. Give it up for me. I'm just kidding. But it's really a matter on how you see things. By the way, a horse, their retina is 8 times bigger than yours, so they see everything 50% bigger than. In fact, you look bigger to them. And all the men would say yes, and the women are like, I want to be tiny, right? It looks bigger. But the way you see it is the way it'll be for you. But if you ever fall off the horse because of divorce, a setback, have you ever had anything that happened that immediately, as soon as you heard the news or the report, you immediately, your stomach went, and knots, and you're like, oh, God, I need to go to the bathroom. It's just weird. Your whole body starts shutting down because you're dealing with, really, fear. False evidence appearing real. Listen, this statement's overused, you would think, but I actually love it. Tough times never last, but tough people do. Yes, you've been through some stuff. Yes, you've fallen off the horse, but guess what? You're going to get back up. And if you get on the horse and you're headed the wrong way, just turn it around. I love these kind of saddles too, by the way, because they have a horn on them and you can hold them. Like these Australian saddles, it's like, good luck. If you're on the wrong horse, you need to hang on, right? Some of you, don't look at your husband right now. Come on, go with him. You do fall. Micah 7:8. By the way, Micah is a pastor. I forgot to compliment and shout out. Give it up for Sunset Hills Campus Pastor, Pastor Micah 7. Micah 7:8. By the way, Micah, they didn't clap here because they don't know who you are and they don't care, but the people at Sunset Hills better be going cray cray right now. I wouldn't come down here. This is not your territory. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Your attitude determines your altitude. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I want to talk about sitting in darkness. When you do fall off the horse, you're heading down the road, you fall off the horse, but then now you're sitting in darkness. In other words, things down here look a lot different, a lot bigger, a lot dustier, a lot nastier. But if you can ever say, hey, yeah, I've fallen. Remember the commercial? I've fallen and I can't get up. St. Louis, I hope you're voting with me today. Florida is still sleeping. And it's later here, actually. I've fallen and I can't get up. The first thing you need to do is notify. Notify somebody. That's what that thing is about with the old lady. Right? I've fallen and I can't get up. Thanks to Life Alert, things have changed for me, right? I don't even know. I've seen the commercial too many times to know about Life Alert. I've fallen and I can't get up. So when you've fallen, you got to get up and you have to notify. Life Alert notifies somebody. You got to notify people in your small group, because when you've fallen and you don't go to church and you're in a setback, some people need to know. Whatever you do, you've fallen, but don't sit there in darkness. Let God's light shine on the inside of you and get up. The entrance of His word brings light. Yeah, I've been perplexed. And yes, I've been cast down. I've been crushed, but I've not been destroyed. God works all things together for my good. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Somebody needed this right now. Don't you sit there. Get up. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Remember that? Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Remember?
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
What's that?
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Come on. Get up. Okay, that's enough. I forgot. We're not at the late service. I thought I was in our city at 12:30. I'm sorry. My bad. Now, one thing about horses is they need to be broken, okay? And Nicole loved horses so much, we had horses. Like, she got horses, they had babies, and she trained them. And one of the things that Nicole was good at was training me and training horses. But she would take the blanket, Johnny Bronco, I got footage of him. You can't just throw a saddle on a horse. You got to get him used to the blanket. You can't just go get on the horse. Then, after a while, you can kind of set the saddle on the horse, and then eventually that might be a day, might be 5 days, might be 10 days, and after a while you can eventually get on the horse. They call it, you got a broken horse. Is that horse broke? Not broken, but broke. Can you ride that horse? Because there's some beautiful horses that have never been ridden. I mean, you can go to different parts of the world. The horses are running around on the beach and they're wild. You can't just go up and ride that horse. You didn't know that. I'm telling you right now, don't ever try to get up and ride a buck wild, unbroken horse. But over time, the horse gets broken. And may I tell you that God does the same thing with us in a way. He gets you accustomed to what's going on in your life so you can be a vehicle of change that'll change other people's lives. And you're not going to get broken, not broken down, but broken to where God can use you until you've been through some stuff. What's that mean? I've watched it all the time with pastor people. We had something recently where a person was telling somebody at our church, in, you know, dream team capacity and staff capacity, on how they weren't raising their little toddler right. The person was not married, who was telling this person that, had never had a kid, was telling, come on, some of y'all, if you ain't married, you ain't got a kid, you don't even know right now what I'm talking about. What in the world do you know about raising kids, Felicia, because you ain't never had, that's not her name, you ain't never had a child. Come on, someone, until you had a baby. Until you stayed up all night, until you got marks, until you sleep deprived, until you had 5 epidurals. Somebody ought to help me. What you doing telling me about a man? You ain't got no man. You ain't got no baby. And the reason why is because your mouth's too big, Felicia. Shut up. Oh, I'm telling it right now. I'm telling you the truth. Here's my theory on this. My daughter, wasn't she incredible today? She's unbelievable. She's singing. Guess what? I've never wrote a book on parenting. You know why? We don't know how it turned out yet. Come on, go. I don't know. I'm not going to write a book until I'm really old and they're really old and they haven't jacked their life up and I haven't jacked mine up. Then I might say 10 things to do to be successful as a parent. But right now, I'm just telling you that a fall down as a dad, and you're going to fall down as a dad, but don't take advice from the peanut gallery about where God's taking you. Somebody ought to shout amen. Until you've been through some stuff, until life has broken you down, until you've been divorced, betrayed, and went through trial, I don't care here about your sermon unless you've actually lived it. Oh, Lord. I'm talking about true grit. You gotta have true grit. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been through some stuff. It's kind of funny. Y'all have been through some stuff. I'm kind of still going through some stuff. In fact, if you want to learn how to raise a kid, I got a couple I'll give you. We have people trying to leave them at Tots, okay? Come at the 9 o'clock service. Leave it till the 12:30 because you need child care. Don't do that. That's wrong. But I understand the pain. Okay, so let's talk about this. Maybe you failed, but you're not a failure. Maybe you've made some mistakes, but you're not a mistake. God is going to cause and quicken you to get back up. In other words, it's not about failing, it's about getting up. I can't tell you all the times with all the churches that you might be sitting in right now at Sunset Hills and Royal Palm and Ferguson Florissant and at Weldon and at Sunset and wherever else we got churches that I went through hell and Nicole went through hell. We go through hell every day. We went through hell on Friday. We went through hell on Thursday. We fought litigation on Wednesday. We fought litigation on Monday. How long is this going to last? Well, it's been lasting the whole, next year will be 20 years and we woke up fighting because it's the good fight of faith. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If life-changing business were easy, somebody ought to help me, then everybody would do it. But guess what? The devil hates it, but just because we fall sometimes doesn't mean that we're going to stay down. You're too powerful to stay down. The dream's too big to stay down. Too many people are counting on you for you to stay down. Get up! I said, get up! Oh, yeah, I don't mean you really had to get up, but some of y'all, hey, I gotta get up! I got some true grit. Yeah, yeah. I feel like having church today. Look at your neighbor like something smelled bad. Go. Get up. I feel it at every campus. I feel it stirring on the inside of you. Get up. Well, we might be here all day. I don't know. I'm having a good time myself. Proverbs 24, verse 16. You guys are incredible. The godly may trip. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been tripping, girl. The godly may trip. Look at your neighbor and say, the trip is real.
The trip is real.
I'm in rare form today. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm not even sure it's the Lord, but it's coming out of me right now. The godly may trip 7 times. But you read it with me loud and strong like you had breakfast. But they will get up again. But they will get up again. But
they will get up again.
I felt like a cheerleader. I was like, but they will get up again. Yay! Yay! Come on, somebody. Get up. So your past mistakes are the portals to your possibilities. So when you make a mistake, what you do is you don't give up, cave in, and quit. You get up and discover what didn't work. Albert Einstein did this. Also, the next point would be point 3. God doesn't define you by your mistakes. Thank God. When Peter, check this out. This is pretty bad. Peter straight up denies Jesus. When they said, do you know who he is? He's like, I better make sure they don't think, because I don't want the persecution that would go with this, that I'm a Christ follower. So he actually cursed, and like blankety blank, I don't know who the blank he is. That's what happened legitimately. Judas goes off and hangs himself. There's a lot of disarray. Jesus is hanging on the cross right now, by the way, for our sin and our falling down to keep us lifted up forever. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph or get up. True grit. And when Jesus is resurrected, Mark 16, verse 7, he said, go tell my disciples, and he mentions Peter by name, and Peter. Peter can't believe, he said my name? Say my name. There's just something about when people say your name, it feels good. We were one of the band members here. He was next to me, and it was a big stadium this weekend at a concert, in massive stadium, and on stage, Ty Tribbett, he was doing his thing, and when I was about 10 rows back, and Ty's up there, I don't even know, he sees me, and in the middle of it, one of my music directors by me, and he starts doing his rap, starts singing, and he yells out, yo, Pastor Crank! And he's like, did he just say your name? And I'm like, yeah, he did, you know. Yeah. Come on, somebody. It just felt good. Then I look back at a couple of my other guys. I'm like, hey, do you hear me? Did you hear him say my name? Because they didn't say it. He said your name. And I just had to make sure they knew he said my name. Ty Tribbett knows. Shout out my name. I'm just here to tell you that Peter felt pretty good when he said, hey, I denied him, but yeah, I fell down and I was in darkness and I thought it was over. And Jesus said, tell everybody, especially Peter, I'm back, Jack, and we're together again. Y'all get what I'm saying right now? God does not define you by your mistake. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
Isaiah 61, verse 3. He says, I will give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. What's the next one say, class? All campuses, what? Earth City, Ferguson, I can't hear you. What's it say? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What's it say? One more time, what?
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
So when you come to church, it's a garment of praise. So you don't have your coat on, but then you come in and you go, I'm putting my garment on. I'm trading my sorrows. You're fighting with your wife. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Come in, see people with a red bag. I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. I'm trading my sorrows. Sing it. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Come on, sing it now. I'm trading my sorrows.
I'm trading my sorrows.
We just broke out in song.
I'm trading my shame.
I'm laying it down.
I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Come on, everybody on your feet. Yes, Lord. I'm saying yes.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. I'm feeling good about now. How about you? Sing it again. I'm saying yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
I'm saying yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
Okay, that's good. We just broke out in song for a minute. Sit down. That was a commercial break brought to you in part by Nicole Crank's book. Hi, God, it's me again. Okay, let's go. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humility is a big key to getting back on the horse. Humble yourselves. By the way, it's better if you do it yourself. I'm going to try that again if you ain't been through some stuff. Anybody ever been humbled, but you didn't do it yourself? I see it all the time. Cocky, arrogant. Oh, boy. See how this works out. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. So there's something about being humble. It is embarrassing, by the way, when you fall off the horse. It's just really embarrassing. And now you're down on the ground, and you told everybody, should have been a cowboy. Yeah, I'm a marble man. I'm a bad mama jam. I know how to ride. Rode bulls. So you're a shooting bull, but you never rode a bull. And you got thrown off. Where you once thought you were going, you didn't go. Humility, though, by the way, is very attractive. Do you feel like you're pretty attractive, but you could always use some attractive tips? Raise your hand if you like. You know, lashes. By the way, I made fun of people the other day, like with their car lashes. And four girls come up to me in our city with the pictures of their cars, and they had the 4-foot lashes. They're like, don't shame us. And I'm like, you go, girl. You rock that. So no shame. I was kidding. I was joking with you. If you like it on your car, go ahead. Humility is attractive. Have you ever seen people really cocky and arrogant, and you thought, I could pay off my house if I had the kind of money they thought they were worth? See, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And it says right here that he'll lift you up, but you got to be humble about it. It's okay to say you're not okay. By the way, this is why I'm so proud of our church. We have got historical numbers. We broke records like never before this year. We have more people in small groups than we ever have in the history of our church. You guys got in, you got together, you started doing life together, you started eating together, started bowling together, started reading together, started praying together, started doing life together. Why is that important? When you fall off the horse, you need somebody to help you. Remember one time, Nicole, I saved her life. She had fallen off and her foot got stuck in the harness, and the horse was still going. And I went up there to Walmart and unplugged it from the wall and saved her life. Saved her life. I had you on that one, Eddie. Oh my God, he's a hero. He saved her life. He saved her life at Walmart. But you can't do life alone. Because when you fall down, you're tempted to sit in darkness. I've done this. Divorced, betrayed, all out of love. Now I don't know. I don't know who to blame. I'm just sitting here in this apartment right now. It'd make me feel better if I ate a bunch of ice cream. So I got ice cream, and then I put it in a bowl. Then I went back, got ice cream, put it in the bowl. Then I'm like, screw it. I'm wasting too many calories walking. I know I'm going to eat it all anyway. On Friday night, I ain't got nobody. I'm all out of love. This is horrible. Now I feel horrible because now my stomach's and it's big, and I don't look attractive, and I don't like myself anymore. And how in the world am I going to? It's a lot harder for a guy to find a girl than a girl to find a guy. You know, they drink for free at clubs, everything. It's girls' night, ladies' night. You never heard guys' night. Come on, somebody. You know, I was having a pity party. And the problem with the pity party is I don't know why they call it a party, because it's not a party at all. And the only person here at the party is me and the devil. And I'm sitting in darkness. But then all of a sudden, in Baldwin, Missouri, at Treetop Apartment Complex, I think is the name of it, I got up out of that basement apartment where I was just me and my cat and a little bit of furniture I had after a divorce, and my motorcycle was inside. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to start walking. And I started walking in every day. And I started drinking so much water. I had to walk a lot because I had to pee a lot. Can I get an amen? And then the weight started falling off and I felt my confidence coming back. And I felt like maybe I could have a better future. And then I got my confidence up so much, I went into this like little party that my friends were having, and I saw a girl there. And the girl was 5'11". She had on a little mini skirt. Her name was Nicole, not Crank yet. But I walked up to her and said, you look like my second wife. She said, well, what'd she look like? I go, I've only been married one time. You win. Come on, somebody. You got to get up out of darkness. You got to get up out of the funk. You got to get up out of the depression. You got to get up. I don't care what the doctor said. Get up. Arise. We walk by faith and not by sight. I give you 10 seconds to praise it. Somebody ought to run. Somebody ought to get excited. Somebody ought to say, yeah, I'm draining my sorrows. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. You're not done yet. Shout. Shout. Something. True grit. Sit back down next to your neighbor and look at him and say, I don't even understand how you can sit there like that. Grit. Everybody shout grit. You know what I love about my wife a lot? There's a lot of things I love, but the one thing I love about her, when it gets tough, she's got grit. I've seen her fight bureaucracy. I've seen her fight cancer. I've seen her fight me. I don't like that fight. But I have seen her fight our kids. I've seen her fight what needed to be fought even when I don't want to fight. That's why you got to also go to church to find the right spouse and the right person and get in a group, because you can't just marry anybody. You got to marry somebody that matches your grit, tenacity, that matches your vision. Come on, if any two people get together, if you're unequally yoked, it won't work out. You got to have grit. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to have grit. Now, a lot of you guys don't know John Maxwell. John Maxwell has written more books, leadership books, sold more leadership books than anybody in American history. He's iconic. He's one of the great coaches of presidents and LeBron James, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, he gets about $100,000 to coach people. He's a friend of Nicole and I's. We actually just went on a little vacation hunting trip with him, and while he was there, I asked him, we're celebrating 20 years of ministry. We got some true grit. Would you come celebrate it? So January the 20th, he will be in person preaching that weekend for you guys, because a lot of you guys started this church with Nicole and I, and you made it happen. But when I asked John about grit, here's what he said. Check this out.
If you have some tenacity, if you have some grit, it'll help you overcome some of the deficiencies in your life or my life. I mean, we all can't be the smartest person in the room. We can't always be the most gifted person in the room. We can't always be the one who sings the best, dances the best, teaches the best. But grit helps us get to where we need to go, even when we're, quote, not the best. In fact, I will tell you that in most races of life, grit many times wins over best. Because if you're just the best, doesn't mean that you have the tenacity to continue on. You might just kind of live off of your gifts. And if you live off of your gifts, you'll never accomplish what you can if you live off of grit. So just, hey, go inside of yourself, last a little longer than other people last, start a little longer than people start. I mean, just get in that game and let grit take you where others just don't go. And when you finish, grit wins almost always over giftedness. I would rather have grit and less gifts than a lot of gifts and very little grit. It's that grit that'll get you to the finish line.
Come on, give it up for John. Isn't that amazing? Tell your friends, January 20th, he'll be here. By the way, you need to invite your friends. You got friends today that needed this sermon today, but because you were shy or lazy or disobedient, so you didn't bring them with them. It's true. You know people that you got kind of tired. When you first got here, you're like, oh, I got a church and it's great. And now your friends are dying, going to hell, going through hell, and you're just sitting there going to church. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. And your friend's going to hell. Bring him to church. 2 Samuel, our last passage. Have you had fun today so far? We're not even done yet. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now David did something stupid. He stayed home and he was looking at something he shouldn't have. Opened up his eye gate. Now he sees a naked girl. Now he has sex with her. She's married. He has to cover it up and have the husband killed. This is not a good situation. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. That's good. He humbled himself. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. Thank God for that. Everybody shout, thank God for that. And you're not going to die. That's a plus. But because you have done this utter contempt to the Lord, the son, unfortunately, is going to die. The wages of sin is death. Now, Nathan had gone home, and the Lord allowed the child to be struck, and Uriah's wife had borne to David, and she became ill, and he pleaded with God, God, please let the child live. And he fasted. He spent 40 days lying on his back, knocked off the horse, on the ground. The elders of the household stood beside him and told him, get up from the ground. Notice people in his small group were saying, David, get up, get up, get up. But people do this sometimes. He refused. He would not eat any food. And on the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him the child was dead, for they thought while the child was living, I mean, he was so depressed. We don't want to let him know this, that the child's dead. He may do something desperate. And they thought he's suicidal. And David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. He asked, is the child dead? And they replied, yes. Then David got up from the ground, washed his face, put on lotions, changed his clothes, and went to the house of God and worshiped the Lord. This is really freaking them out. They said, verse 21, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. Now the child is dead, and you get up and eat. And he answered, while the child was dead, I fasted and wept, thinking, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now the child is dead. Why should I go on fasting? How can I bring him back again? He will not return to me. In other words, staying off the horse in the dust isn't going to help anybody. I got to get up. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. He made love to her. Everybody said, uh-oh. She gave birth to a son, and his name was Solomon. So he has a mistake. He has a failure. He has a shortcoming. Falls off the horse. Stays down. Has people in his group tell him to get up. He wouldn't do it. But then all of a sudden, he made a decision that I'm asking you to make today. He said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to put on lotion, go make love to my wife, and make another one. And the next one would be Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived. And out of Solomon's loins and genealogy came our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, God can take, come on, somebody, what the devil meant for evil and turn it around for your good. Don't stay down. If you're knocked down, you got to get back up. Listen, I'm asking you today, if you were able to believe in Santa Claus for 8 years, can you believe in yourself for 5 minutes? Can you believe in God for 10 minutes? I promise you, it'll change everything in your life. Failure is not final. Everybody shout that. Failure is not final. Okay. 43 seconds over my sermon now, but we're going to go. 3 more minutes. Raise your hand if you give me 3 more minutes. Raise your hand. All caps. I got over 5 hours right there collectively. Raise your hand if you're enjoying this today. Okay, watch this. I'm going to give you 8 steps to dealing with failure. I didn't even do this last night. Got busy, had a party. Saturday night, by the way, is wild. If I were you, I'd go to both because they're very different. 8 steps to go to church 2 times on a weekend? Have you ever watched a movie and said, oh, I want to see Home Alone again? Well, not Home Alone, because we've seen it 19 billion times. But have you ever seen a movie and thought, I want to see it again? Okay. 8 steps to dealing with failure. You can take pictures of these. Number one is normalize failure. Understand and accept the fact that failure is a normal part of the process. To be successful, you're going to fail. If you meet people that have not failed, they have not tried. You're going to fail. Number two, again, they got up there, you take a picture of it? Yeah. Number two is find out what failing means to you. Observe the feelings. Say, how do I feel? And what does this make me feel? And find out and try to find out the underlying reason. It may be failing because it's a stupid idea. That happens. Sometimes you take, I just thought of this. When they were inventing that, how many of y'all have used a sticky note? Raise your hand. That from what I understand, studies, I read a thing one time that showed that the sticky note, you might have done this too, was actually somebody trying to make a glue that was so indestructible there was no way that you could ever destroy it. And it sucked so bad they made the sticky note, which is sticky, but it just doesn't do anything that it was supposed to do, but yet it did everything like make those people rich. So just because it didn't work out doesn't mean it's not going to work out. A great idea can come from a bad idea if you study the idea long enough. Number three, here's a big one. This goes back to the humility part. Say it. You just got to be able to say it. Hey, I failed. You know what I've noticed about people? They love it when you say you failed. Like your friends and the people who love you, when you tell them, man, I messed up. I'll do it in sermons. I do it in leadership all the time because I don't want my team to be the kind of people that think that they are know-it-alls. I want learn-it-alls. And so I'll throw myself under the bus a lot because I want them to do it, because there's nothing worse than somebody trying to defend something that was absolutely stupid. If you can just tell people, that was horrible, that's the worst sermon I ever did, I don't know where that, what, huh? And then it allows them the opportunity. So humility says, I failed. By the way, this works good in marriage and with kids. When you tell your kids, watch this, Ashton, Austin, I'm sorry. It's the first time I've ever been a dad. I don't know how to be a dad. And man, did I ever bum this one up, man. Will you guys forgive me? They immediately, oh, Dad, you're doing a great job. By the way, they've never bought me the world's greatest T-shirt that says the world's greatest dad. But that's okay. We were out there trying to save Mom from the horse that was killing her, okay? They didn't have time to do that. Four. Everybody shout four.
Four.
Everybody shout this. Learn from it.
Learn from it.
Learn from it, man. That's a kicker. Learn what worked and what you could do differently. What do we do that, Mary? We do that thing at the highs and lows, or we do an event and we do four helpfuls. So we do this thing after an event with the four helpfuls. What are the things that work? What are the things that didn't work? There's a bunch of strat-ops that our team does. Even this sermon today, I mean, I they don't know where we're going, but I was in the shower and I started singing this one. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And then Nicole said, hey, you know what? What's it say in Spanish? Si, senor, si, si, senor. She's a, si, senor, si, si, senor. Amen. She's like, try in Spanish. I'm like, I'm not bilingual. Irabasakatala, just tongues and that. That's it. Trying to stretch me. But learn from it. But my point was, when I was in the shower singing it, I just sent a voicemail and said, hey, send this to all the campuses and let them know I might break into that song at the beginning or the end. It's just in my spirit. So I try to give people a heads up, because I've learned if you don't tell the team where you're going, they're like, does he want us to sing? Does he want us to play? All, by the way, is I'm trading my sorrows. So they could also hear he's pitching in G. Instead of, I'm trading. It's important that we're all in the same key, same syncopation, moving forward. So learn from what didn't work. I'm talking to leaders right now, and you are a leader, even if you don't think you're a leader because you led yourself to church today, you are a leader. Learn what worked and what you can do differently. Number five, give forgiveness. If you failed others, go to them and own the mistakes and ask for forgiveness and say, hey, admit it, quit it, and forget it. Say, I fell off the horse. I don't know what happened, but I know one thing is going to happen. I'm going to take a picture of these eight steps to dealing with failure. I'm going to normalize failure. I'm going to find out what failing means to me. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say I failed, because I'm not going to walk in pride. I'm going to walk in humility. I'm going to learn from it. Number five, I'm going to get forgiveness. Then 6 and 7 and 8, maybe I'll get into those Tuesday night. Tuesday night, I'm going to pick up here because I got a couple things Tuesday night that are a bunch of things here. I got pages and pages of notes that I did not even get to. All that stuff I didn't get to. I want to get to that, and I can't do it next week, but I'll do it Tuesday night. By the way, if you've never been to a Tuesday night service, you don't even know what you're missing. Come on, give it up for today's sermon. Come on, stand up with me.